Pocahontas and the 2018 midterm elections. It's all anyone's talking about, including here on this latest edition of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising with Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
The media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner and Scott Cosenza with you this week. And Scott, we usually say we're coming at you double barrel, but it's a double barrel show. I mean, I could do all Pocahontas the entire time. I mean, I'd be happy to do an hour on Pocahontas, but I'm not sure that everybody else would be interested. So there are the elections and some outrageous sound bites and stuff going on there, too. And on your plate includes
a big giant dog.
Yeah. Archie Cosenza joining us
Canada's nationwide legalization of recreational, as the common person says it, or non-prescription, as those of us wonkish policy types say it. Nationwide marijuana legalization this week along a 3,000-mile undefended border with the United States. As well as, if we have time, I want to talk a little bit about Khashoggi. And
Khashoggi.
The L'Affaire de Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia.
That would be L'Affaire de Khashoggi.
Did you listen to last week's?
Hey, look, I've just been to Italy and back, so I'm very sensitive to proper use of the Latin-derived languages.
Did you listen to last week's Uprising in its entirety?
Of course I did.
Did you notice
the cap? Very impressive.
Okay.
I'm a bit jealous, to be honest with you, but...
Perhaps other people eventually will get
it. We're going to start a trend. It's going to go viral, I'm sure.
We're going to crowdsource it. Oh, by the way, I just happened to see, apropos of nothing today, the Christine Blasey Ford GoFundMe campaign is still active. It's crested $600,000 now. It's in the mid-sixes. Still gathering money. Apparently her security needs and housing needs for the multiple front doors. She's got a lot more doors adding now.
No. To pay off her pro bono lawyers? Would that be another?
Yeah. So anyway, that's going on as well. All right. Well, I know you're dying to tear into... I was watching Tucker Carlson... And I guess it was maybe I was watching it yesterday on YouTube, and it was the night before. But anyway, during the course of his hour, he came up with like six different names, like Pocahontas and like Lialot, and like all these little Anyway, it was pretty funny. It's hard to not take some Schadenfreude over this woman who is like super white. Who was held up as Harvard's first woman of color professor.
She is about as white. She is about as white as Ivory Snow. Could you be any whiter than Elizabeth Warren? I mean,
Tim,
honestly.
I mean, I look for whiteness. I look to you. I mean, you're my. What's the guiding star? The lodestar. That's the term.
Now I'm going to propose something. For the
that's
president.
Tim Donner of the New York Donners for everybody.
The
who's
New
listening.
York Donners, yeah, exactly. As opposed to the California Donners who participated in the last recorded case of American cannibalism. So thank you
for
the New York distinction.
No relation.
The Donner Party. A lot of people know it. Everybody knows it in California, but. Not so much on the East Coast. So here's I'm going to say this before I forget. My suggested response for President Trump is to get his own DNA test. And if the results show that he has more American Indian blood than Senator Pocahontas, which is more than likely, very possible, because she has less Indian blood than the average American, which we found out, by the way, from the New York Times. So it's an unimpeachable source. Mm-hmm. I think Trump should get his own DNA test, and if it shows he has more Indian blood than Elizabeth Warren, he should make it public and make a big show out of it. Not that he ever does that. And if it doesn't come back that way, he can just bury the results and pretend it never happened and no one will be the wiser. I think that would be the ultimate diss to Senator Pocahontas.
She had such a great out. It's the same out. I always said this about Barack Obama with the birth certificate controversy. No one knows where they're born. We all know where we've been told that we were born, right? That's all. Elizabeth Warren, you don't know your heritage. You know what you've been told of your heritage, right? And if she just said, hey, this is what I was told, okay? I didn't get a job because of it. And, you know, I was on board with this whole, like, she used it to get ill-gotten gains at Harvard or anything. But Ben Shapiro, who's no fan of Elizabeth Warren or her politics, has said that he happens to know because of the timing of things that this was like an add-on. She had actually gotten the job at Harvard because of her merit, but there was in the air this push for diversity. So then they actually went to people who were already employed and were like, hey, can we scare up some diversity in anybody's background?
I mean, I've heard the defense that it's really Harvard's fault,
right,
for listing her that way. Of course, she didn't object to it.
Oh, no,
she didn't tell them to change.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting that, you know, she bears no
shame. But I mean, to take it to this degree, I mean,
it's worthy of a proper mocking.
If I were her, I would have said, look, right, I'm not claiming Indian heritage. All I'm saying is that
this is my family,
here's what the stories that have been passed down from my great, 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 right, great, 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 great,
but that
great,
doesn't help
great
turn it into
grandmother
fodder for the election.
No, it's true.
This was a 5-minute. So for people who don't know, this came out as a result of a 5-minute campaign ad. This was her launching her presidential campaign effectively. By the way, I wanted to talk to you about this. It's so hilarious. Yeah, if you're just past needing some sleep, so you decide to go ahead and go for the full 5 minutes as a sleep aid, you will see that there is an old gun on a mantle. Okay, I'm actually gonna. Should we pause it to get Archie out of the room here?
No, no. Archie's just trying. He has something to say, and you're not letting him say it. That's the problem.
It's an old cap and ball pistol, rusted beyond recognition and clearly non-operable, but it's supposed to represent like a down-homey kind of, realism and goodness. And, it's a firearm on a mantle. What could be more American than that? Except it's completely non-functioning and can't work. And that's the place, I think, in Elizabeth Warren's world where firearms are. And I oppose Elizabeth Warren. You know, I want to mock her, too, because it's effective and I think she deserves it. But also because of the profound mess she'll make of the United States. I sent you that article. Did you have a chance to take a look at it about what she wants to do with corporations that have over $1 billion?
I've read so much about her that it would be the operative phrase would be ad nauseum now. But that was forwarded to me by an uprising listener,
Tim.
That's great.
And he just, you know, this is a guy who's not a right winger and just was sort of, I think, fantastically surprised by this level of control. So she says that if you make more than $1 billion, that basically your corporation should be fully socialized, just like a Soviet-like control level. It's beyond the pale for an American president.
The point that I was making is that there was a dignified way out of this box that she'd created for herself. She could have done it and talked about family heritage.
What was the title of the article that you wrote for LibertyNation.com on this?
Fraudulent Pocahontas.
Yes.
Colon, signing her own political death warrant.
Right.
Warren, get it? The Senator Warren with a T in parentheses.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the bottom line, Scott. She's now a full-on, full-bore laughingstock across the country, even people on the left.
Well, they didn't let her get away with that's the kind of interesting thing. I don't know if you saw how the day's events went, but they sort of first aligned behind her, and then things went all sideways. I checked in with, I guess it was Chris Cuomo and on CNN, and when I saw him talking, in a derogatory fashion about her, I thought,
it's all over.
If you've lost CNN and you're on the and you're running for the Democrat primary.
Well, I started out that article on LibertyNation.com by saying somewhere Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Cory Booker are giggling because they'll have one less serious competitor. It was that big a botch. And, you know, this is going to follow her everywhere she goes.
You know,
there's
going to
be giggling and jokes and ridicule.
The gift of Donald Trump, Donald Trump's superpower is how he makes his opponents behave.
Yes,
and in fact, this is actually a good segue, Tim. I want you to play my Kamala Harris clip because, you know, we want to move into a more civil tone discussion. And here's what I want you to think when you listen to it. This is Kamala Harris on the Ellen program. And I just want you to think if this was a Republican talking about Kamala Harris instead of Kamala Harris talking about a Republican. Please fire.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Wait till listen to the cackling. I mean, it goes on.
Yeah. Sure.
They just can't get enough of it.
Yeah. I mean, assassinate a president.
This is
why
the
not?
Kind of talk that is vile and disgusting if a Republican does it against a Democrat. Now, I'm happy to have a society where you can't make a joke against anybody or one where you can make a joke against anybody. But right now, where we have this thing where you can make a joke against a Republican if you're a Democrat, but not the other way around.
Well, it's one of those
insane
things that 20 years ago would have had headlines blaring for days on end, at least in the conservative media. Now something like this happens, it's like, well, they're doing death threats and wishing Trump was dead every single day.
I prefer the society where all jokes are allowed, by the way. I don't know actually if I am okay
too
with no jokes.
Oh, no question.
I don't want to live in a world where we have to abide by what Kamala Harris thinks is appropriate for people to say about Kamala Harris, right? But for people to say things about Donald Trump, it's a free-for-all.
All right, so let's go to the Pocahontas story, and let's go back to
Elizabeth Warren has released her DNA, and it's 1,024.
It could be
right?
as much as 1,512.
Do you know how
as
many?
Actually,
do you know how many greats
164th.
Do you know how many greats it is? It's 8 greats, I think. In
eight
other words,
greats. Oh yeah, yeah.
Great,
it's 6 to 10.
Great. Okay.
6 to 10 generations.
Right.
One descendant.
Right.
I mean, it's not like there were two Indians married together.
She's worse than Hitler with the one drop. It's not even one drop. It's like 1/100th of a drop.
That's true. No, it's absolutely
worse than Hitler.
Now, I'm going to excuse myself in advance if I double over laughing, because I think this was one of the funniest things. And Pocahontas has now given me a legitimate excuse to use it again. And we go back to when Donald Trump, fairly new president at that point, I think he'd been in office 3 or 4 months, and he was speaking to a group of Native Americans, and he was attempting to honor their heritage, and this is what he said.
You were here long before any of us were here, although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas.
No. But unfortunately, because it's an audio-only medium, I can't show you the part that was great, which was the tribal leaders looking at each other like, what are we supposed to say to that, the Pocahontas thing? He said he called her Pocahontas right in front of a bunch of Native American leaders or community leaders
there
or tribal
no
leaders.
There is no better troll on earth than our president. He's just the best one there is.
No question. No question.
He gets a lot wrong, but
just,
that part,
but you just said it exactly. You lurched uncontrollably into a brilliant observation when you said that it's the behavior that Trump induces in his opponents and his enemies that ultimately unmasks them.
Yeah.
This is what he's done since he's come to Washington. He's forced, you know, all of this stuff to come out. It's like what I call when he goes into like a dark room, turns on the light, and all the rats go scurrying for cover, which is a fairly common experience for people living in New York,
right.
Or cockroaches, whatever it is. This is what he's done. He's unmasked people. He's forced them out from behind the veil and exposed them for what they are. And that, to me, is just as valuable as the economy growing like it is, it's unemployment, deregulation, and all these other things. But let's go to a sort of semi-compilation of Trump talking about Elizabeth Warren, and it actually starts with, well, let me just play it.
We will very gently take that kit, and we will slowly toss it.
To be very gentle.
And we will say, DNA test. I will give you $1 million to your favorite charity, paid for by Trump, if you take the test and it shows you're an Indian, you know.
Senator Warren released some of her DNA results that show a strong likelihood that she does have Native American roots.
How much? One thousand?
Yeah. Do you owe her an apology?
I owe her. She owes the country an apology.
What about the money that you told her you would...
If she gets the nomination in a debate where I was going to have her tested, I'll only do it if I can test her personally.
Okay,
that will not
I didn't
be
hear
something
that.
I enjoy doing.
That will not be something I enjoy doing. No, I mean, you have to personally test it because he doesn't trust the
okay, well, let's
the
talk
testers.
About that for a second, by the way. That test that she had done, she didn't do 23andMe or what's the other one, Ancestry.com?
Right, right.
The ones
no,
that you can do for $99.
It was a personal profile.
Well, I did it for $100. I bought it for my...
What part Indian
like
are
a,
you?
I'm
What said, part Indian
I'm,
are you?
I'm,
seriously.
I'm actually, in this instance, in the only instance possible, I'm whiter than Elizabeth Warren because I have 0% Native American ancestry.
I'm so sorry
I have
for
greater...
You.
Neanderthal DNA. That
now
I
that
have,
I believe. No, I that part's not hard to, hard to conceive of.
But I actually, so I called the number. So this guy, he has a Stanford genetic, the genetics clinic, at Stanford with his own name on it. So he's a pretty big deal. Mr. Bustamante, I believe
right.
his name
Carlos
is.
Carlos Dr. Bustamante.
Dr. Bustamante,
yes.
No doubt. It's doctor.
Doctor, sorry.
And so I called. That number goes to a non-functioning number. It's almost like a joke, okay? And then I emailed Senator Warren's office. And you know what? Why don't I check my email just at recording time to see if I have gotten no reply from Elizabeth Warren asking who, what entity or person paid for the testing and how much it was? Because what do you think it is to get this Stanford genius to do a DNA test for you?
Let's talk about. The test itself. There was an insufficient amount of actual Indian DNA available, so they tested Central Americans. Okay, they tested through Central American DNA, so it's not even clear that there was any
Indian. It's up to 1,000, it's up to 1 in 1,024 of a universe of DNA that includes.
That in,
some
yes, exactly
Native American
right, exactly
DNA.
Right.
That's the way that you have to describe it, and that's why. That's actually why I make that point, Tim. If it's $100 to go to 23andMe, how much is it to go to Dr. Genius at Stanford? Right. I want to know. It's not $1,000. I mean, to get a custom DNA profile with him on camera with the results, and that costs a pretty penny. Why do you do that? Here's why you do it. You spit in the tube for the 23andMe, and pray to God it comes back good with an anonymous recipient. And when it comes back, you know, that you're from the Mayflower, guess what? Then you got to go to Bustamante and say, is there any hope? You know, can we go a little deeper?
Now, going back to that soundbite, that referred to the famous $1 million offer that Trump right. made. If she could prove, and of course, that was the first blush of the leftist media was to say, now we can say he's going to be forced to pay her $1 million because
and
she has an
response.
But here's what nobody's pointing out. In that bite, he says, I'll give her $1 million if she can prove she's an Indian, okay?
Right.
If she can prove she's an Indian, not if she has one speck of Indian blood from eight generations ago.
I mean, that's, do you know about
the recipe? That's too much.
So the cookbook, so she contributed, because of her strong Native American ancestry,
right.
she contributed to a book called Powwow Chow, is that right? It has some name just like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And it's a name that if I made it, it would be offensive and would have to be pulled down, right? But because it's made ostensibly by Native Americans.
A real Indian,
right?
Yeah.
And it was a crab-based recipe. Crab. The Plains Indians are not known for their use of crab in dishes, Tim. This is not, and it's not because they
not a whole lot of water
exactly.
For crabs to.
And apparently, and I haven't verified this, but what the hell, I'll say it anyway. It's fun to rumor about it. It was apparently ripped off from a New York Times recipe anyway, so they couldn't even get a. She didn't even submit a
Has somebody dug into that, whether it was
I heard that that's what it was, you know.
A plagiarized recipe. Now, speaking of plagiarized.
Lifted from the Times.
The bottom line of Senator Pocahontas and her meltdown and her self-immolating decision to out herself, essentially, as I wrote on LibertyNation.com, leaves you with a bottom line of the most prominent candidates in the Republican field, which was summed up thusly by a fellow named Scott Jennings on CNN, of all places. This is the Democratic field.
This is where the Democratic Party is. They've got a plagiarizer, a socialist, Spartacist, creepy porn lawyer, and now bizarro Pocahontas running for president. There's no way any of these people.
So you got a plagiarizer, Joe Biden, a socialist, Bernie Sanders. Let's see, the next one was, Spartacus, Senator Cory Booker. And you've got a creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, and now you've got this phony Indian goddess. So there's your field.
Well,
are
Joe
you
Biden's
confident? If you're
Joe,
a Democrat, are you confident you're going to knock off Trump in 2020 with that kind of clown car?
You wonder where it's going to come from. I say Avenatti doesn't have a problem for being a creepy porn lawyer. He has a problem for not delivering the goods. I think for Democrats, if he delivered the goods, meaning a credible complainant against Kavanaugh or against Trump, or, you know, he's got to get some wins, right?
Let's do Avenatti for a moment, because this is all about the same thing you said earlier, the behavior that Trump induces in those who are intent on destroying him. So the judgment, the lawsuit by Stormy Daniels was thrown out, and they're going to have to pay Trump his legal expenses.
So this was,
I mean, how?
This was, so that, the main lawsuit is, and again, this makes no sense to me as a lawyer, but the main lawsuit is because Stormy Daniels doesn't have a signed copy of the agreement that her attorneys made with Donald Trump's attorneys in order for her to keep her mouth shut about the night they had sex together, she got paid $130K for that. She cashed the $130,000 check, or I'm sure her attorney cashed it and sent her the remainder after his
$12 that were left after his legal fees. Yeah,
no, I don't want to denigrate Mr. Davidson his fee.
Of course, you would never do that.
No, but she cashed the check and she got the money, and then she decided, you know what, I could sell this story for a lot more dough than what I got, and so I want to get out of it. In comes Avenatti, who sees this as a vehicle to take on Trump and make political hay. Clearly, that's what this is about. He doesn't represent people in small contract disputes, which is basically what this is over confidentiality clauses. It's all political for him. And in the midst of that, because Trump, via tweet, basically dissed a tweet that Stormy Daniels made, okay, called it a con job, I think was the term he used, when she alleged that some tough guys basically approached her in a parking lot. I think it was in Vegas. If not, it was Texas, and basically said, remember to keep your mouth shut, alleging that this may have been sent by Trump. And of course, Trump knows whether he sent those men, but he doesn't know if they were sent on his behalf. But in any case, he tweeted out con job, and he was sued for defamation or libel or slander about this. And there's a really great protection that a lot of states have called an anti-slap statute. A slap case is like silent something public interest. It's a slap suit is when powerful people or corporations sue people who are speaking out against them, okay? And they use the defamation laws in order to silence them. And because individuals often have limited resources, especially when compared to large corporations. You know, if you're taking pictures of the Tyson food chicken plant because you don't like the way they're treating chickens, and Tyson doesn't like that, well, they can sue you for defamation in order to shut up your blog or your story, right? And if you're a little guy and you don't have $100,000 to fight them for years in federal court, maybe you just do shut up. So these anti-slap laws that some states have, and just for the record, see, these defamation lawsuits are decided via state law as to where it came. There's not a federal defamation statute. There's this a group of laws that many states have called anti-SLAPP. And what that means is, Tim, if you sue me for defamation, I get to go into court and I say, okay, I think this is a SLAPP suit. So I'm going to invoke the anti-SLAPP provisions of the defamation law, and I want basically a mini trial right now, right up front, before we get into months and months of discovery and back and forth and years-long litigation. Right away, we're going to have this mini trial, and you're going to have to meet this high burden that says that what I said wasn't free speech and, in fact, was defamation. And then we can get into the full case later on. And so that's what happened in this case. They had their mini trial, and Judge Otero, who's a federal judge in California, ruled that what Trump said was, in fact, absolutely free speech and the give and take that's allowed under the First Amendment. And so that case got
essentially ruled as a nuisance suit. I mean, isn't that what the
it's worse than a nuisance suit. That's why that that's why the
why they have to pay charges, have to pay legal fees,
has to pay the attorney fees for Trump.
Yeah. I mean, how ironic is that? Donald Trump is actually going to receive payment from Avenatti / Daniels. Oh, yeah. That's just too rich. Now, well, look,
actually,
we got to get
to richer than that, Tim. The people who funded Stormy Daniels' GoFundMe campaign to fund the lawsuits themselves are now going to presumably, if she's going to use that
gonna
money,
wind up paying that money
paying
to Trump's
lawyers. Yeah, just, yeah. Exactly.
It's just too delicious.
It is delicious
for words. All right, let's move on to elections. And you had an interesting phone call with a House candidate in our own 10th district of Virginia here, which is one of the. This is one of the. Just to set the stage here, this is one of the most hotly competitive races in the country. It's one of the races that the Democrats have placed at the top of their list to target a Republican, a district represented by a Republican, but a district also where Trump is very unpopular, and there's about as many Democrats as there are Republicans.
I seem to have a gift of living in districts like that. And the previous district I lived in Pennsylvania was similarly situated, and I can tell you that the amount of advertising in terms of phone calls, videos, and yard signs is really punishing to the residents of such highly competitive districts. And what I wanted to do was just find out Wexler, I believe is her name. Is that right?
Jennifer Wexton.
Wexton, excuse me. Jennifer Wexton. And Tim is like looking at me because he always has to correct me on her name.
Wexton.
Maybe it's a thing where, well,
you'll get it right because she's probably going to win. So she'll be our congressperson.
We'll see, yeah. I think that the polls do clearly show that that's where things are headed. But I just wanted to understand what her position was with respect to Justice Kavanaugh and whether or not she would vote for his impeachment. I am, I'll vote for Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or Green Party candidates if they're the right person. I don't do a single slate. And so I do like to dig into some of these issues. Now, the interesting thing is play the call and I will talk some more about what the answer was.
Senator Congress, this is Lee. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is Scott, and I called yesterday. I was trying to get an answer as to whether Jennifer Wexton believes that basically, an answer as to whether she is on board with pursuing impeachment proceedings against Justice Kavanaugh. And I spoke with a staffer who told me they would get back to me yesterday, and I hadn't gotten a call back. So that's why I was calling again today.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not certain. Of course, it wouldn't be in the jurisdiction of the House.
This is great.
Well, actually, it would be in the jurisdiction of the House. The House votes to impeach, and then the Senate votes to remove. That's how our constitutional system works for high offices.
I apologize. I can reference the for our policy staff.
Are you a student?
Yes, sir.
And what level of student are you?
Undergraduate.
Okay. Are you a political science major?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so for high offices, the House has to impeach first. A bill of impeachment goes through the House, and then the Senate can either convict or not as removal is concerned.
Yeah, I can convey that to our policy staff. I apologize for this.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
Can you have somebody call me back with an answer or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Email or something?
Yeah.
Now, of course, they did call you back within the next half hour, right?
There were, I counted, I think there were five phone calls I made to get an answer to that question, which, campaign offices can be chaotic. Maybe it might have been six. And it was funny because with each time, the promises to get back to me, because I always do inform when I call again that there were previous attempts to mine the information and that, you know, that gather the information that we're not. And it's like the stridency with which I'm guaranteed a response increased every time and resulted in no response. But finally, I got through and I said, listen, I this is now whatever. I said it was my fifth or sixth call. And the answer, by the way, is that she does not at this time, I was told, support impeachment proceedings.
At this time, right, being the key word. So,
let me just make one point, okay, if I may, because if you didn't listen very carefully, you may have missed it. She doesn't agree with me that she's made a mistake on the impeachment point. She says, I'll direct that information to our policy staff. I'll convey it to our policy staff. So she hasn't – in other words, I corrected her error, right? And I thought that she would just clearly see that that was an error. But she doesn't even agree that that's an error.
Well, she doesn't want to she doesn't want to admit an error. Now,
I bleeped her name, by the way, because I don't think – this is not about attacking a person. It's about saying that, you know – This is the kind of knowledge of our system that a person who is so engaged that they're a political science major in college and volunteering, presumably, or employed by
Congress. And she still doesn't know that the House does
impeachment.
And impeachment,
as you said, has been in the news at the top of the – above the fold in the newspapers for how many months now?
Basically, since the day after Trump was elected.
There you go.
They were talking about impeaching him the day after he was elected.
So I found that to be a little disconcerting.
It's remarkable. Remarkable. Well, around the country, you know, we've got 435 House seats and 34, I believe, Senate seats that are up. And there's also a bunch of governor's races. And one of them is in Georgia, where a woman is representing the Democratic Party as their candidate. Her name is Stacey Abrams, and there's a serious question about her understanding of the Constitution, because listen to what she said about the blue wave, which has always referred to
the
coming Democratic wave,
superstorm,
where people are going to go to the polls and vote for Democrats.
It is made up of those who've been told that they are not worthy of being here. Yeah. It is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented.
So there you go. So the blue wave, the voters, includes those who are documented and those who are undocumented,
illegal people, okay? There are no illegal people.
No illegal people. Now, another big race is in Texas, and I think it's being overstated somewhat because I think Ted Cruz is going to win, but he's fending off a challenge from a very charismatic young man named Beto O'Rourke, who most people believe
is loved by the press.
He is loved
like
by the press.
He's God himself.
I was with some progressives this past weekend when I was doing some family business, and they just love the guy. And I'll tell you what, he's not running essentially for senator of Texas. He's running for president. This guy wants to be added to the dozens of others who've said that they want the nomination to take on Trump in 2020. And so, you know, he's running as a full-bore progressive in Texas, which sort of tells you that he's not really interested in winning the Senate seat so much as getting publicity. Here's a little bit of their latest debate, which occurred this week, and a moniker put on Cruz by Donald Trump was actually used by the Democrat. Listen here.
Senator Cruz is not going to be honest with you. He's going to make up positions and votes that I've never held or have ever taken. He's dishonest. It's why the president called him Lying Ted, and it's why the nickname stuck, because it's true.
It's clear Congressman O'Rourke's pollsters have told him to come out on the attack. So if he wants to insult me and call me a liar, that's fine. But, you know, John Adams famously said, facts are stubborn things.
You were all talk and no action.
All talk, no action. And you know, what he was saying is he has this great relationship with President Trump trying to get things done. But when Beto O'Rourke said to him, really, so what decisions have you influenced of his? And Cruz couldn't really say. But, I mean, the spectacle of a progressive Democrat using a Trump insulting nickname against his Republican opponent, it's pretty clever politics, I think.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons to oppose Ted. Just about any politician in the country, there's plenty of reasons to oppose them without that kind of ad hominem, you know. And it's just, as a voter, I want to hear, give me the meat, you know. come at Ted Cruz and the left. You know, this is actually a good time for me to correct the record, I think, on something. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago, probably a month and a half ago now, about Cynthia Nixon's candidacy against Cuomo. And I made fun of it because I thought she was a vapid actress who was on an ego trip. And I actually went and I listened to a couple of the debates that she had with Cuomo, and I was totally wrong. She was a serious hitter from the left against Cuomo, and she really put to him some of the things that I've been saying about these Democrat big city politicians for years, which is you say to, you know, care about all these things, but the drug war is off the charts. You're prosecuting people for you know, small amounts of marijuana. Somebody's got a parking ticket, it balloons into a $1,000 fine, and they're being put in jail. What are you doing to help these people that you claim to, you know, care so much about? And I found a lot of value in her attacks from Cuomo, you know, from the left.
Well, there's such a thing as a worthy adversary.
Yeah.
Someone who makes an intellectually honest point that you may disagree with, but that engages you in a serious political conversation, not just a bunch of insults.
I haven't seen the videos of the debates of O'Rourke and Cruz. Is he super charismatic? Is he, like, amazingly telegenic?
He's kind of got it all going on. He's tall, dark, handsome.
Uh-huh.
He's well-spoken.
Right.
He seems to be pretty well-versed, but I haven't, you know, I didn't listen to the full hour-long
right.
debate, but he seems to be pretty well-versed. I want to close with, since it is election season, I call through some of the political ads that are going on,
uh-huh.
and the best one comes from the guy who's running against the notorious Senator Bob Menendez in
mm-hmm.
New Jersey.
He is notorious.
Bob Huggin is his name. He seems like he's a pretty decent candidate. But he has absolutely savaged Bob Menendez in this ad. This gives you an idea of the political climate.
When will we as a society begin to believe women, to trust women?
What a hypocrite. What about the underage girls who accused you, according to the FBI?
New Jersey's Bob Menendez is being forced to deny allegations of engaging with prostitutes.
Sex with underage prostitutes in the Dominican Republic.
It's right here in this shocking FBI affidavit. President Obama's Justice Department had evidence that for several years, Menendez had been traveling to the Dominican Republic to engage in sexual activity with prostitutes, some of whom were minors. Even as young as 16. Worse, after the FBI caught you lying about your trips to the Dominican Republic, your lawyers even argued that having sex with underage girls overseas would hardly be a federal crime. Outrageous.
When will we as a society begin to believe women?
Really, Bob? It's time for you to go.
I'm Bob Huggin. I approve this message.
Really, Bob? Really, it's time for you to go. It's great. If you think about it, it's amazing. With all the charges of corruption against this guy, he's still 5 or 6 points ahead in deep blue New Jersey.
Tim, if there's one thing that Bob and I can agree on, is that traveling overseas to have sex with minor prostitutes is not authorized in the Constitution as being forbidden federally. I don't think that that's...
I've been exhaustively searching my copy of the Constitution. I haven't been able to find it yet either. That's your homework. That's your homework for next week.
I'm more concerned with him being a totally corrupt, socially gun grabber socialist type. Salmon Melgen, I think, is the name of the doctor that defrauded Medicare and Medicaid to the tune of millions and millions
yes.
of dollars. It was
mm-hmm.
in league with
mm-hmm.
Menendez, and only through his connections and through the sort of Democrat Party politics with the Norcross family, I think, in New Jersey, is how he got that seat back.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a lot of dirty business
It's really a cesspool of pretty much proven charges of corruption, yet he got off. He was found not guilty, right?
I don't know if he was actually criminally charged. It was one of those...
He was let off the hook,
yes.
anyway. I mean, he got off somehow. But
he was an unindicted co-conspirator
in
this case. And I actually used that term. That was kind of a joke.
I think
that's an inappropriate term for prosecutors to use, but not podcast co-hosts, Tim.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Tim.
We'll be back at you next time. Ciao.
Bye.